You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Now we can make that difference. A lot of great groundwork.
You just saw the video. This is the Gaffer and Hooligan Podcast. Discussions, debates, and opinions on Major League Soccer and the CONCACAF region from a Canadian perspective. Hosted by Kamal Hilton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gaffer and Hooligan's latest World Cup mini show, available on Red Nation Online and the War Room Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kamal Hilton. We have a lot to get to with a fantastic week of World Cup games. But since we're a podcast that primarily focuses on MLS and CONCACAF, I think there's only one logical place to start. So in segment one, the first round, we're going to start off with a segment I'm going to call the CONCACAF Brotherhood. The CONCACAF nations at the World Cup so far have a record of 4-1-2 and have already advanced one team into the round of 16, with Costa Rica earning its place after a 1-0 win over Italy today. This is a team that has really caught everybody off guard and has been the surprise package of the tournament. I think the play of Joel Campbell has been fantastic. I think the play of the entire team really frustrated the Italians today. And the coach, Jorge Pinto, has said he studied the Italians for such a long time and now we're going to beat them. And he said that before the game even started and they ended up winning the game. The other CONCACAF nation that played today was Honduras, and they've just come off of a 2-1 loss to Ecuador. But they really gave a good account of themselves, considering how they performed against France, losing 3-0 and getting Wilson Palacios sent off. I think they represented themselves in a good fashion. Carlo Costly ended their massive goal drought. They went, I don't even know how many minutes without scoring a goal. And they finally cracked it, so they didn't go down in history with futility, which is actually not, I think that's a nice thing. I don't really want to see any teams go down with any kind of bad record, even though it's Honduras and the whole Canada-Honduras 8-1 thing. I mean, I don't want to see any team from CONCACAF especially go down with any kind of bad record. Mathematically speaking, Honduras still has a faint chance of qualifying out of Group E, but I don't really see it happening. They play Switzerland to end the tournament, while Ecuador and France play. France is already through, having defeated Switzerland today 5-2. And really, when you look at this group, you look at the three teams that Honduras has had to play, they just have too much offensive firepower for them to deal with. So maybe they get a point against Switzerland, you never know. I don't really see it happening, but I hope it happens because I don't want to see any CONCACAF team end on 0 points, especially how well they've been playing. And the tone for CONCACAF was really set by the U.S. and Mexico. The U.S. defeating Ghana 2-1 on Monday, with Clint Dempsey scoring a really early goal and John Brooks scoring the winner with a late header. Then Mexico's Guillermo Ochoa standing tall in goal, getting a 0-0 draw against Brazil on the Tuesday. I mean, both of those teams, I think, really set the tone for what CONCACAF has accomplished so far. And if you look at the games that are coming up, all three of the teams, USA, Mexico, and Costa Rica, have some interesting matches. USA plays Portugal on Sunday at 6 p.m., and everything's looking to go in their favor here. You have Pepe suspended with his red card for his stupid headbutt on Thomas Muller. You have Fabio Contrao, looks like he's out with an injury. And then there's questions over Cristiano Ronaldo on whether he'll play or not with his ongoing leg injury. I mean, I think he'll play because to miss the World Cup, I don't think he's going to do that. I think he'll risk it. He risked it against Germany. I think he'll risk it against the United States. But you're playing against a Cristiano Ronaldo that's not 100%. So the U.S. looks like they'll benefit from that, I think, with the players they have. Yes, they won't have Jozy Altidore, who suffered from a strained hamstring or pulled hamstring. or whatever kind of hamstring he has, he's out. I know that for sure. His tournament's likely done. But the way they've played against Ghana, if they dig in like they did against Ghana, like when they play Portugal, I think they stand a good chance of getting a draw or even a win there. And then you look at Mexico, they actually kind of control their fate when you look at it. They have 4 points like Brazil. They go up against Croatia, who has 3 points. Croatia's going to need to win that game. They play on Monday at 4 p.m. And I really think Mexico, the style of play they've played with, the 5-3-2, and they're using attacking fullbacks, I really think that caused problems for both Brazil and Cameroon when they played them. This is going to be a fun one. I think Croatia will put on a better effort than Italy did against Costa Rica, but I do think Mexico pulls it out in the end. And then you speak of Costa Rica, they go up against England. They actually have a chance of sweeping this entire group, and I think it's going to happen, actually. If Costa Rica can get 6 points against Uruguay and Italy, and the way England's playing defensively, I think Costa Rica is going to frustrate them. I think it'll be a game that Costa Rica is going to sit for a little bit and soak up some pressure. It's if they deal with that pressure is the key thing. But the communication of their backline that they showed against Italy, they caught the Italians offside so many times, countless number of times. I think they can do the same thing against England. And then I think they'll get maybe a 1-0 win or something along those lines. A close victory, 1-0, 2-1. And then I really think they want to go for the win because they're going to want to top the group and avoid Colombia in Group C. I think they take on a Group C opponent, and I think they're going to want to avoid Colombia because Colombia has looked really, really good. And I really think they match up well against Ivory Coast and Greece rather than playing Japan. I think they can match up with the physicality of the Ivorians and the Greeks, and all four of the Group C teams are still alive, but they really don't want to play the Japanese. I think the Japanese will string passes together and really put Costa Rica's defense at work. What served Costa Rica well was the fact that Uruguay and Italy, when they played them, those teams really couldn't string any passes together. For whatever reason, they struggled to do that. I don't think Japan will. And that's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to watching all three CONCACAF teams. Hopefully, fingers crossed, qualify for the round of 16. Yes, we're putting Honduras off to one side, but I think qualifying 3 out of the 4 CONCACAF teams is a really good indication of how much the region has improved. I think we'll leave that there for now, but let me know your thoughts. You can tweet me directly at Kamal Hilton. Leave a comment underneath this post on the RNO site. Hop onto the Gaffer and Hooligan Facebook page and find the podcast on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. But let's move on over to segment 2, Last Call, and I want to look at some of the other fascinating games that have happened this week. I want to start off with a pair of games that happened on Wednesday. That is Netherlands and Australia, and Spain versus Chile in Group B. And starting with Netherlands versus Australia, that one finished 3-2. And that's been one of the most entertaining games of the tournament so far. And a game that I don't think anybody expected to be an entertaining game when the tournament started. They would have thought, okay, Netherlands are just going to steamroll Australia. But I really love how this Australian team has played. I think they made a lot of fans, including myself. I'm loving the way they play. Usually a team in their situation would just put 10 men behind the ball and defend for 90 minutes. But their coach, Ange Postecoglou, threw that completely out of the window and just said, you know what, we're going to try and possess the ball a little bit. We're going to try and put some balls into the box for Tim Cahill. And his heading abilities really paid off, and his ability to really get up in the air. And playing as a kind of smaller guy, I think he's really been good with his head and his feet. But honestly, this is a team that doesn't deserve to go out of this tournament with 0 points. Shout out to my Australian friends Hank McCoy and Vince Germano from the Courtside Basketball Podcast, and also James McKern and Reese Pedretti from the Hoops podcast. I really hope your Socceroos at least come away with a point against Spain and do you guys proud and continue to do you guys proud like they did in the first two games. But switching over to this Dutch team, the question I have is, do they emerge as a World Cup winning favorite? On the one hand, they're a really young team, so it's a tough tag to put on them. But then again, the way they're playing and the way this World Cup has been really wide open, and I think the pool of teams, of potential World Cup winning teams, has opened up even more than the regulars, especially because, as we'll get to, Spain has been eliminated, so which means you're going to have a new champion anyway. I think it's just down to, can they stay consistent and can they stay composed? That'll be the difference. I can't answer this question. I'll throw it out to you guys. Do you guys see them, the Dutch, as a World Cup winning favorite now? But speaking of Spain, they've been eliminated after their 2-0 defeat to Chile. And really, the story of this game is the Jorge Sampaoli system, which has been adopted or changed or manipulated out of the Marcelo Bielsa system, is working to great effect. And there's just a whole bunch of their players, Charles Aránguiz, Alexis Sanchez, Eduardo Vargas, there's a whole bunch of others that are really just playing as a solid unit, really just pressed and harried the Spanish team and just put them out of their element, I think, out of their game plan. I think they have to go back to the drawing board with their new group of talent as the older guys get ready to call it quits from international soccer. But I really think it's a ridiculous notion to say the Spanish team are finished or it's death to tiki-taka and all these other things that you're seeing all over internet and social media. I think it's a bunch of garbage. And I really think Aaron Nielsen put it best in a tweet that he put out there after the game. He's a regular on Gaffer and Hooligan. You guys know him. And he put out there, before you guys all say the Spanish team is dead and everything, they do have a young group of players like Isco and Adrian and Thiago and Koke and Morata. They have a whole bunch, a whole school of players coming up in their system. I don't think tiki-taka is dead. I don't think the Spanish team are finished. I think they'll adjust the tiki-taka system with some other players that know some other things, and they might not play full-out tiki-taka like they did before, but I don't think it's completely dead, because when it's on, nobody can stop it. So I don't know why you would just kill something that worked so well before. And the key game coming out of this group is Chile versus Netherlands on Monday at 12 p.m., winner takes top of the group. That's just going to be a fantastic game. I don't really want to go too much in depth there. Just watch it is all I have to say. But another game I want to get to, the last game I want to get to, is Uruguay versus England. That one finished 2-1 to Uruguay. And it was really the Luis Suarez effect and the poor English defending, as I referenced before. I think it was done in equal measure. Luis Suarez is just on a different level. And Uruguay is on a different level when Luis Suarez is on the field. I think it just is as simple as that. England didn't help themselves with their poor defending. Bill Jagielka is probably to blame on both goals, to be honest with you. He lost track of Suarez on the first goal when he headed it in. And he's the one who made the vital mistake to spring Suarez through. He headed it backward and allowed Suarez to go through, and really Joe Hart couldn't really do anything about it. And then Wayne Rooney was just unlucky. He did score a goal, but he could have had more, I think. And he hit the crossbar or the post, in between the crossbar and the post. And he had a slew of other chances that he just couldn't really finish. Key game coming out of this one now, it sets up as Uruguay versus Italy, with Costa Rica already in. These two are fighting to get in themselves. Head-to-head match. It's going to be fantastic to watch. Luis Suarez versus Mario Balotelli. That's on Tuesday at 12 p.m. I have to sit down and watch that somewhere. Probably going to do it with the Uruguayans again to experience that one more time. But I think this is a good place to end the pod. Let me know your thoughts. You can tweet me directly at Kamal Hilton. Leave me a comment underneath this post on the RNO site. Hop onto the Gaffer and Hooligan Facebook page. Find this podcast on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Before I go, be sure to check out the other brands within the RNO family of podcasts. Eastside Stand Up with Ian Clark has you covered for all things TFC. Stephen Botcher provides you the RNO interview series with key figures within the game. The boys at From the Black Hole, Rob, Jeff, and Lars, bring you their unique style of coverage from Canadian soccer. And Rob Notenboom wrote a piece for Plastic Pitch. Plastic Pitch is out. He wrote a piece for that. Go check that out. And we also have Ours is the Fury podcast on the Ottawa. But until next time, guys, hope you enjoy the rest of the World Cup. Cheers.